My mother warned me about getting in cars with strange men.
This isn't a car.
Oh, this isn't a car, not a car, not a car. Oh, this isn't a car, not a car. It could be a motorcycle, or maybe a unicycle, possibly a paracycle, if those exist. An Oscar Mayer wiener truck, a submarine, or six-wheel dock, a roller skater, hockey puck, that'd be a cool ride. Oh, this isn't a car, not a car, not a car.
Hello and welcome to, I don't even know what to call this podcast, but hey, it's me, G, and I'm here with Martin, Tim. A.k.a. Timster, the Batman. Yes. Say hello, man.
The Batman. one of the many Batmen out there, but I just try to stick to the character's roots.
Right, so. If you're the Batman and I should be the Scott Pilgrim of the Philippines. No, I'm kidding. All right, so basically we're just here to talk about Dark Knight Rises.
Exactly.
This is a spoiler sort of podcast, so if you have not seen the movie, better run away and watch it, because you have to watch it.
I guess if you've watched all of Nolan's movies of the Dark Knight trilogy, you have to watch this.
Right, so spoilers from now on. So, all right, Martin, I want to know your general thoughts of this movie. Like, what do you think overall? Perfect, good, better than this and than that? What do you think?
Okay, let me put it this way. 2-3-1.
2-3-1.
Yeah.
You know, I'm actually in the same boat as you because, yeah, this is better than Begins, but in terms of trying to ape Part 2, which is, I'm sure everybody wants, I don't know, man. It's like, fuck, the pacing is the problem with this movie, I think. I don't know if you want to agree with me on that one, because there are just some times where it's just pretty slow. Like, unlike Part 2, Dark Knight, it was really, you know, fast-paced. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, but continue with your train of thought. Just give your opinions.
Well, basically, it's just, I only have two major problems with this movie, all right? It's just, yeah, one is the pacing, and two is, you know, you really can't top Heath Ledger. Let's face it. I mean, oh my God, you cannot. So it's impossible, really, for Bane to fill that role. And unfortunately, Bane is not as gripping as the Joker. I mean, then again, if you think about it, I know you're the biggest fan here. The Joker is one of the best villains of, you know, in the comic book universe. I mean, whether it's Marvel or DC.
He is the villain. Yeah. He is the villain.
You really can't top that. And then, you know, Bane is not even, I mean, honestly, if I haven't been reading or watching, or, well, I saw a bit of the animated series, but, you know, Bane isn't really on the same league as the Joker. So you really can't do it, even if your name is Christopher Nolan, if you know what I mean. So that is sort of just the problem right there, like those two for me. But otherwise, like, holy shit, man, there are some really awesome scenes in this one. And I guess we'll talk about later the ending, which I thought was a really good wrap up. But yeah, that's it for me. But you're the fan here, man. So I want to know, like, your overall, like, feelings, because you've been anticipating this movie, I think, more than the Avengers, right?
I have. Well, are you done with your opinion?
Well, sort of, yeah. I mean, let's just keep going. Like, what your thoughts, man? Like, you're the fan here. I just want to know, like, you know, did you cry or anything? Like,
No, nothing like that. But thank you. I just wanted you to finish before I go on ranting mode.
All right, go. It's your go ahead, again.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna give my thoughts about this movie. I thought it was very epic. I thought Nolan did a good job. He wrapped up things smoothly, as best as he could, given the fact that, of course, Heath Ledger passed away just before The Dark Knight came out in 2008 in a tragic manner. And his acting was superb. He earned a posthumous award for that performance, right? So you can't top his Joker. His Joker stole the show for The Dark Knight. And you have to admit, the pacing for The Dark Knight was way better than this.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. It was just, I mean, from the opening to, like, even the part in the middle where the parade, I think that was one of my favorite parts. You know, it was really pumping. And then the fact, I mean, the idea of Joker using his, you know, his plan is, like, genius, if you think about
it. Chaos. It's just, it was very, I mean, for his insanity. I mean, they even call it super sanity if you look at it in a deep way. It's just there was structure to The Dark Knight. In fact, you didn't even have to focus on the origins of Batman or Bruce Wayne. I mean, that was beside the point. You already explained it in Batman Begins.
Yeah.
For The Dark Knight, and I've said this to a lot of people who talk to me about the movies of Christopher Nolan, which was my favorite, I'd say the second, because it can stand alone. Mm. It doesn't have to relate to Batman Begins, nor does it even have to lead
on. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, you're right. Because this one ties in a lot with the first movie.
And the second, because of the Harvey Dent act.
Well, yeah, but mostly the first one, if you think about it, like there are flashbacks more.
Yeah, which we will get into later. But yes, it's supposed to be a resolution. It's supposed to be a conclusion to everything that started with Batman Begins. Because, of course, we're going to look at the tie-ins to Bruce's origins. Mm-hmm. And yes, spoiler alert, we will talk about it now. The League of Shadows. How does it tie into Bane and everybody else? That is the big spoiler here.
I know. Sorry to cut you off, but when they just revealed Talia, like, holy shit. Like, I mean, it was already a big speculation during the casting of this movie. Like, who is Marianne Cotillard going to be playing?
Yeah, and she denied it. And then they had a female young actress there who was going to play a young Miranda Tate, Talia, whatever. And anyway, they reported it, and they were trying to deflect rumors. They were trying to deflect speculation. It's water under the bridge now. But what I liked was the execution of the twist.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, honestly, sorry to cut you off again, but just the idea of like, oh, I was already sold that this is not, you know, Talia, because Miranda Tate, blah 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 blah. I was like, yeah, okay, maybe she's not. Maybe the rumors were just bullshit. But then at the end, yeah, that was a pretty awesome twist there. Like, it will make you want to see it again, the movie, just to to figure out like what she's been doing. Yeah,
but that's the thing. That's another reason why The Dark Knight Rises cannot stand alone like The Dark Knight can. Because if you don't have any backstory, if you did not watch Begins, if you did not watch The Dark Knight, you will not know what's happening. And it takes place 8 years after those two movies. I mean, The Dark Knight itself just took place 8 months after Batman Begins. Batman was already cleaning up the streets of Gotham. And then it leads on to him saying, I did a good job. I have two allies in Harvey Dent and Commissioner Gordon. The next thing you know, the Joker comes in and boom, there. Everything starts to crumble down. And then when Dent turns into Two-Face, and then he literally
got better for me.
He just literally becomes the bad guy now. And then it will destroy the public image he created. That's when he needs to fall. But that's what sets up The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
Okay, so talking spoilers here. If you plan on watching the movie and if you're listening to this, I'm sorry, but
We already warned them, so don't worry, man. Just keep going with the spoilers because I want to talk more about Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, which I thought was awesome. Like, he's the
John Blake.
Probably the greatest addition to this movie because, I mean, Batman technically doesn't really show up a lot in this movie, if you think about it.
Exactly. Actually, he shows up more here than he did in I'm talking about Bruce Wayne, okay? Bruce Wayne appeared more here than in The Dark Knight. He had more Bruce Wayne time than...
Honestly, it was more of a Bruce Wayne story than a Batman movie. Yeah, I mean, that was also pretty cool, if you think about it. But in terms of, like, an audience relating to a hero, I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character is the one that's kind of like that, you know what I mean? Like the guy,
brash young idealist,
the other good guy that we could sort of like, you know, show our support or something. Like, he is really cool here, and honestly, that little thing at the end with the Robin, you know, it's like, fuck you, Nolan. Like, I it's cute, it's really cool, but the fan in me sort of wants it to be. I mean, I'm not really familiar with Tim Drake, but I was hoping like either Tim Drake or Jason Todd or something, you know, just to tease the fans. But just to name it as Robin was kind of like, it was a bit of a joke, but at the same time it was kind of cool though, if you think about it. But, you know, they could have done something more with that. But hey, it's fine with me. I don't know about you though.
It's really, I don't know. Nolan never wanted to use Robin, but I guess this is his way of just saying, okay, I'll just give a nod to the people who were expecting a Robin. For me, it felt a little bit anticlimactic. And actually, I did not like the insert, actually.
Oh, really?
I think I've just left it out. Yeah, that was me personally. But
I thought it was just really like a cute way of like, you know, to the fans, and because he's ending this trilogy, and you know, I mean, we're not gonna see anymore. But
so he is ending the trilogy, but you gotta look at it in another way. Now that you know that, I even had my suspicions. I mean, John Blake already, then he's a cop. You know, Dick Grayson was a cop in the comics in Bloodhaven. You know, yeah, he was Nightwing.
They could have just used either the name, the real names of the Robins, or hell, if this is not really continuity bullshit or whatever.
John Blake sounds like Tim Drake.
No, or like Terry McGinnis. At least just something like, you know, to make the fans like, not bad or something, you know. But
there are already, man. It's pretty much a given already. I mean, just by the name John Blake and the fact that there were rumors already and speculation that, hey, he's gonna be a sidekick to Bruce Wayne, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And when you watch the movie, it's different. It's okay, fine. I'm glad there's another ally for Batman to talk to confide in, and literally it shows there. But it just felt I found the character very cool. I just felt that. If they're not going to use the Robin character and they're just going to lead it on to something, oh, hey, there's something bigger to this than meets the eye. He's going to do something that'll probably speak about what will happen to the Batman legacy, or, you know, if you want to spoil it, yeah. Robin nod and the end. Yeah. He ends up, doing something that follows up in Batman's footsteps. There, that's a safe way of putting it. But I don't really know whether he's going to be Batman, he's going to be the next Cape Crusader or another guy assuming another identity. We won't know. It's just, okay. But he was a great addition. And I thought he had some of the best action scenes and the best dialogue. And how he confronted Bruce, how he talked with him, how he figured out how he sized him up. Yeah, basically he just delivered one of the best characters I've seen in a Nolan movie.
Definitely. He's to me a really good addition to the whole trilogy.
Exactly.
So it's a really good movie, but then again, let's talk about the pacing though, because that's the problem with this one. There's a lot of shit going on, you know. The second act is the biggest problem here, is where I think it's after the... Yeah, I also want to hear your thoughts about that. When Bane broke Batman's back, it was a nod
to... I love that. I actually love the fighting scene.
Nightfall,
I'll tell you right now. I thought it was brilliant. I mean, okay, fine. He just went directly to fight Bane. Then he lost, okay? But the way the sequence played, in IMAX especially, now that I have something to compare it to, I watched it in IMAX and in conventional theaters. I've seen it twice.
Mm-hmm.
So... not disregarding the fact that it felt okay, they fight. Then
the fight itself was pretty cool. I'm talking about like the scenes after that. That's where it kind of dragged already. No, but I just want to hear your thoughts about the whole nod to Nightfall. If I'm not mistaken, that's the storyline.
It is
right?
Not Nightfall. Yeah. But it's also not The Dark Knight Returns, and it's also not to No Man's Land. Those are the three core storylines that have blended in to create this movie.
Interesting.
Yeah, No Man's Land was when Gotham was abandoned because...
That's right. And then the Bat Friends are like the heroes or something.
And Batman disappeared for a couple of months, which is what The Dark Knight Rises takes after. If you thought it was a bit quirky how the pacing went with that, I thought it was okay. It was also pretty metaphorical in the sense that when they put him in the pit and he had to climb out, that was it's like a sort of rebirth for him.
That was cool. But I'm just like, in terms of pacing and, you know, a lot of scenes that kind of drag. I mean, it could have been...
Which scenes in particular?
It's pretty hard right now because it's been a while. But, it's only a few hours. But I'm just talking about, like, it could have been edited a lot tighter. That's the thing. I mean, if you just edit it a bit more, then probably it's cool. But I'm not saying those scenes are a mess. I mean,
of course.
Bad or anything. It's just... you know, a bit sluggish. If you're the audience, like, oh, come on, can we just get to the whole thing already? Because it's just, you know, it's just dragging in a way. But then again, those are really excellent scenes. I'm not denying that. Like,
of course.
Climbing and then Where, you know, the, what do you call it, the flashback with Ra's al Ghul's.
Oh yeah, that one really kicked it for me. I loved it. It just, wow. Okay, he's back. Then he starts putting some advice and you know, doubt, and of course, it's like simply, "I told you so" to Bruce Wayne. At his lowest point, "I told you so. I knew that this was going to come back to haunt you." Basically, that's what Ra's al Ghul was saying to Bruce Wayne. And there are other ways to achieve immortality. See?
Right on. No, but right. But just the fact that, what do you call it, there's like this hint like, oh, is Bane the kid of Ra's al Ghul? And it's like, you know, before the Talia thing, I was like a bit convinced, actually, like, maybe that's actually a cool sort of
twist. But the editing was top notch for Nolan. He's known to, you know, deceive the audience.
If I did not
trust him, I would also be very, 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 very speculative, very, very wary of how this was going to go about. But wow, everybody was going like, okay, fine, maybe Marion Cotillard was right by saying she's Talia, but then. And you find out, oh, she's Talia after all. But then again, it makes perfect sense. Because why would she be there? Why would she flirt around with Bruce Wayne? How come when she was abducted and taken hostage by Bane, she didn't even react or shriek? And then the most telling of all of the scenes there was when they slept together in the manor. Then it pans to the scar.
Actually, yeah. Good point.
See, that was the most telling scene of it all, because you would say, how did she get that? How come they would focus on that? Then they told the Bane origin story. Of course, it adds layers of doubt. It confuses the audience, but that's part of it. If you don't pay attention to the little details, you will not realize that actually Nolan is just trying to lead you on in this movie. That's it.
Which is good, actually.
It's good. Yeah. It's good.
Speaking of that, we haven't actually talked about Selina Kyle, Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway.
Which I thought was pretty good, though. I mean, people were like doubting this before, like, oh, come on, Anne Hathaway, really, Catwoman, blah, 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 blah. But honestly, yeah, she was pretty fine in that role.
Yeah. I think a little bit underused.
True.
I think she could have done more if she got the spotlight. But then again, this is already the final chapter. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to be honest. She played more of a second fiddle role here than a primarily important role.
Yeah.
Everybody was expecting her to play because she's appearing in all of the marketing campaign posters, mm-hmm. all of the promotions, even the trailers, the TV spots. It's as if there's a lot of emphasis to the Catwoman character. And even though Marion Cotillard is here, she didn't really have any scenes except for kissing Bruce Wayne or taking off that mask in the second trailer. Mm-hmm. That's about it. But more emphasis was given to Selina Kyle. And I thought she did very well. In fact, even though a lot of people were kind of disappointed that Nolan didn't use the cat mask, you know, with the goggles.
It worked for me, but not really a big nitpick. I mean, sure, a little bit weird, but yeah, it's okay.
But okay, she was underplayed, and I thought her role as a thief, it was kind of shallow. And how she worked with Bane, it adds some doubt there. It's just, okay, I don't know whether I'm doing good, doing bad. Of course, that's her character. That's her nature. Yeah. She just steps in between shades of gray. She's not exactly the kind of character you can predict or you can tell that, oh, she's going to do this because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, right.
She brought Batman there. Batman was very trusting. Then all of a sudden, he was duped and he fought Bane and he lost.
No, but still, I thought she was cool and I could have used more of her, actually. I mean, every time she's on screen, it was like a pretty good moment, actually.
Exactly. I thought the last act of the movie where she used the Batpod was awesome.
Yeah, and then her one-liners, because she's kind of like the funny character, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. She's supposed to be the one that shows Batman how it feels to actually disappear.
Yes.
Exactly. So that's how it feels like.
And back to the ending again. That part where Oh yeah, sorry, we haven't talked about Michael Caine, Alfred. I thought that
the heart and soul of the movie. My God, those lines that he delivered there, God, it just it speaks volumes of how he knew Bruce Wayne since he was a kid.
Right, right. But I could have used more scenes of him also because
it's a catalyst. It's a catalyst for Batman to actually. I mean, he could have stayed longer. Yeah. But Nolan literally followed the template of Nightfall and Night's End. Actually, in the Nightfall saga, Alfred does leave and Batman's all alone. Yeah, he does. He left for a while. For those who are uninitiated with the comics, Alfred did leave Batman for a time.
Okay.
Nothing like how it happened in the ending, but still, he had to fend for himself. And I guess it was all part of the plot, but I thought it was kind of flimsy also for him to lose all of his money and that. I mean,
you're right.
He had cartilage injuries. I mean, yeah, that's another thing I wanted to discuss. Was it because of the injuries he sustained in the 8-year hiatus, or was it because of the fall when he pushed Harvey Dent off and saved the kid of Gordon back in Dark Knight?
We don't know. I mean, 8 years is a long time, and honestly,
crazy. Because literally in the beginning of this movie, and because he was sporting that beard and the cane, he was a recluse. He just lived up in this manor, and everybody thought he had facial scars, and he was peeing in milk bottles like Howard Hughes. I don't know. Describing it in the dialogue, but I thought everything was well executed, but again, I'll still stick to my gut and my stance that The Dark Knight is the better of the three.
Yeah, definitely. No, but regarding the ending, though, I also like that part where Alfred saw Bruce and Selina.
The vacation in Florence. Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was a cool shot of the last part we see of Bruce Wayne,
of course, with Selina Kyle, and he has a happy life, a happy ending, which is good. I mean, how often do you see Batman with a happy ending? Everything, right. He just continues on with his crusade. But then again, Nolan left it open in a way
with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Levitt, or he could return.
What? I don't know. I think that's it for me. I mean, what else could you do, right, to end this thing? It's a happy ending, to say the least, but...
Yeah.
He
gave away his old life, so he could practically follow Alfred's advice. Actually, he follows everybody's advice. If you watched all three movies, he just literally listens, then all of a sudden he decides, yeah, they're right. I'll just do it. Same with Ra's al Ghul. Same with Morgan Freeman, Lucius Fox. Yeah, that's another actor I gotta commend. My God.
Morgan Freeman, always terrific every time he's in,
with the one-liners and how he speaks to Mr. Wayne. Yes, Mr. Wayne, it comes in black.
Speaking of characters again, the cameo of Cillian Murphy, Scarecrow, that was, every Batman movie, there's one,
There's one. I mean, Exile. Death by Exile.
That was cool. I mean, I was reading the forums last night, and people are telling if Heath Ledger was still alive, it could have probably been him. But
it could have been him.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
Even though he wasn't there anymore, it's up to speculation what happened to the Joker. I mean, they could have just commuted him to another prison, or he could have gotten the death sentence.
That's another thing. Is it because of Nolan paying respects to Heath? Because the movie didn't even, has any reference or whatsoever to Joker.
It's in respect to Heath. But if you want to talk about canon and what happens to the Joker, that's open to interpretation already. Exactly. Much like Inception.
But yeah, if you're really a fan, of course you're wondering what the hell happened to the Joker. But again, it's just one of those minor nitpicks for me. But
I mean, if he just fell off the building in the end of The Dark Knight, that would have explained things already, right?
Exactly, but he didn't. So yeah.
He didn't. It was Harvey Dent who ended up taking the fall, and that actor wanted to come back, Aaron Eckhart, but Nolan said no.
Well, he's in photos.
Yeah, you're dead. Yeah, it's much. Hey, Maggie Gyllenhaal is in photos.
That too, instead of Katie Holmes. I prefer Katie Holmes.
I will give my complaints about the movie now.
Okay, go.
Okay, the first and most important complaint I have, and I wrote it in my review, which you can read up in popculturecrusader.blogspot.com, and there's a link to my detailed review. The first and most important complaint I have of The Dark Knight Rises, in the beginning alone, is the redubbing of Bane's voice.
Okay, actually, we didn't really talk about that. Why is it a problem for you?
Dude, it's obviously redubbed.
Yes, but I've seen the prologue. You've seen the prologue. Let's face it. I mean, it was cool, but
you really need
to understand the actor or the character. And yeah, I think that's the best way already. I mean, I'm sure I know what you're saying. It sounds pretty obvious that it's a redub.
It's a redub.
But then again, if you think about it, like, how can you really understand Bane with the sort of unique voice that they're trying to convey, right?
But so that's the problem. They're going against their changes, because when you watch the rest of the movie, he sounds just like he did in the original interpretation of that prologue.
Oh, really?
Because there's some lines that you do not understand, and when you listen to the prologue sequence, when he of course beats the shit out of Game of Thrones character Littlefinger.
Wait, that was him?
That was him.
Ah, yeah, he didn't really look familiar.
Littlefinger from Game of Thrones. King Joffrey is the little
King. Yeah, I was going to say King Joffrey was in Begins.
Yes, of course. We're both Game of Thrones watchers here, folks. That's why I'm putting my nod and tipping off my hat to Nolan also for casting movies. So,
right. But anyway, go ahead. So you didn't like the fact that they redubbed Bane's voice?
I did not like it. I thought it was poorly executed, and they could have done better by just leaving it as is and just letting the DVD release or the Blu-ray release do its job by giving us subtitles. Because even if you don't understand, people are still going to freaking watch this movie.
True, true. But again, I remember liking the original voice. If you guys actually read my old post with
intimidating, but when you listen to him, when he says of course, it sounds like it doesn't even have the raspy voice anymore. It doesn't sound so intimidating. Then when he says no, they expect one of us in the Wreckage Brother.
I mean, the fact they redubbed the whole thing somehow, you know, I totally understand what's going on, because I remember initially when I saw the prologue, I was like, okay, I know what he's kind of saying, but fuck it, it sounds cool, so I'm going to forgive this. But now after seeing the whole movie, it's like, oh, so that's what he said. I didn't really mind. I mean, sure, it's a nitpick because of the fact that, yes, the original recording was, I guess, tighter. Yeah, the voice itself, I don't even know how to describe it. It's unique. That's the thing. It's just really unique. But yeah, it's really obviously redubbed here. I don't know. It's okay. It's okay. I mean, sure. Yeah, but
not that many people would mind. I'm not saying it's a major factor, but for me, for somebody who has seen the prologue in the IMAX, who has enjoyed the interpretation of Bane in this movie, I thought they could have not just changed it. They could have just left it intact.
All right. Any other negative stuff you want to talk about?
Yeah.
It's all about the pacing. Well, for me, it was the pacing. That's it. That's just it. And, well, you really can't beat Joker, so...
No, you can't beat Joker. I suppose another thing I didn't like here was how they treated... I guess Alfred wasn't really shown that much, but he had an important part to convey wisdom in Bruce. They didn't give that much screen time to which character was that?
Which one?
Tip of my tongue. Aside from Catwoman.
I have no idea. I think we've discussed most of the characters.
Mark Cotillard, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Gary Oldman as Commissioner Gordon. We haven't discussed him.
Because he was phenomenal by default. It's Gary Oldman. He's awesome in every scene.
He is Commissioner Gordon, and until the very end, he was still Commissioner Gordon. And there. I guess Liam Neeson was there. Then they also cast Josh Pence as the younger Ra's al Ghul.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Yeah, there. I guess that was one. I mean, you're expecting a lot of screen time, even though it's a cameo. And he played the younger version of Liam Neeson's character. So
yeah, I totally forgot about that. The other Wynton Voss twin from Social Network. All right. Yeah, but you're right. He was a not really a big star, but the fact that he was just there for like less than 30 seconds was like, you're right, But then again, the movie's really long already. It's like 2 hours and 40 minutes, so... It's
2 hours and 45 minutes.
Or whatever, yeah. So it's just pretty huge already, so...
Then the guy who played the second-in-command cop to Gordon, Peter Foley. I forgot the name of that actor, but...
it's Matthew Modini, whatever, yeah.
Whatever his name is. It was all right, but I was there. My point, the cops from the last movie, The Dark Knight, I thought... They created a pretty good major crimes unit gang for James Gordon, but they weren't used.
Oh yeah, you're right. The girl, whatever her name.
Yeah, the girl. Anne Ramirez.
Yeah.
Anna Ramirez. Then the other guy, the guy who looks like Bullock, but the comics. The guy who the Joker took hostage after he escaped from the interrogation cell.
Right. I'm trying to remember. But anyway. Anyway, we haven't talked also about, I know we're going to wrap up soon, but the fight scenes, I thought were, it's good, but I think Dark Knight has better action scenes.
Better action scenes, but the fight scenes, the slugfest between Bane and Batman was really intense.
You
could really see how strong Bane was, even though they fought twice, and it felt like Rocky in the Batman movie.
I'm talking about like the gunfires. For me, like the impact wasn't as strong compared to when the Joker, you know, obviously the classic heist scene from the second movie, the opening.
Oh yeah, the beginning, the prologue.
Like, you know, to me those gunfires, I mean, felt something compared to the stuff here. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but
As I said, it's the theme of Batman Begins or the threat that he faced in the beginning in the first movie plus the escalation of the Dark Knight. I mean, how the Joker spread and sowed anarchy and chaos. That was the basis of the creation of the Dark Knight Rises. I mean, you got to have the epicness of the Dark Knight, but you put everything into a circle already. You wrap things up, and that's what the Dark Knight Rises is. It just basically wraps up everything. But adding a little bit of oomph. I mean, you have a new vehicle for Batman, the Bat, which, I mean, we found it to be a little bit weird when we saw production.
It was fine.
It was just hovering. I was wondering why it was called the Bat. But yeah, let it have its time. And as the saying goes, trust Nolan. Trust. So we trusted Nolan, and he delivered. And actually, to tell you the truth, the other stuff which kind of made it flimsy for me is this movie didn't have a strong marketing, a viral marketing campaign like The Dark.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Not like the second movie.
Whereas supplementary material spread around the web. Yeah, you could also videos where each week you'd see news reports, Gotham Tonight with James Gordon, with Harvey Dent, with Sal Maroney. If you watch those in the DVD, that added a little bit of content, expansive content, aside from what you see in the main film. I mean, I enjoyed that. You didn't really have to build up the film by showing posters. I mean, they just went all the way in the second film. That's why I think The Dark Knight Rises still can't beat the execution of The Dark Knight, but it did break box office records. There's no denying that. And I think it was an epic finish. So for me, it's a good movie. It's just something that will not stand alone.
You're right. Okay, I guess we're going to wrap this up. But overall, in terms of also breaking the superhero curse trilogies, I think this is the one. You know, Spider-Man 3, X-Men 3 was not as good compared. Well, this is like... almost, you know, consistent with the other two, if you ask.
It is consistent. Yeah. It is consistent. But it cannot stand alone. Again, I have to repeat that, because if you watched everything Batman Begins in The Dark Knight, you'll be really happy with this. But if anybody who just doesn't really know Batman or hasn't really watched those first two films enters this.
Shame on you. I just want to say that.
Yeah, shame on you, or you better backtrack a bit before you act at your theaters to watch this, because you're really missing a lot.
You are. All right. Okay, so we're going to wrap this up, but I just want to say this very, you know, very brief, and I think people might kill me for this, but I think this is on par with Amazing Spidey.
You have my permission to die, okay? Let me just put it to me.
No. I think I enjoyed both Amazing Spidey and Dark Knight Rises, but I think they're almost equal in terms of just giving me the entertainment that I need, but I don't know, maybe... Yeah.
That's the fanboy in you talking.
Probably, so yeah, because I am a really a big supporter of Mark Webb's Amazing Spidey. Anyway, no, that's a different story.
Mark Webb and Andrew Garfield. I thought, hey, not dissing the Amazing Spider-Man, I thought it was great. I thought it was okay. I just didn't think it was better than Spider-Man 1 by Sam Raimi.
I disagree, but that will be probably on another episode.
Would you disagree? I mean, you... Me and, of course, our friend Ken, we watched it together. I thought, I mean, look, that was the very first Spider-Man movie we saw. I thought it was still true to the character, even though it had organic web shooters. This Amazing Spider-Man, okay, everybody has differing opinions about this, but I don't think it will beat The Dark Knight. Okay, bottom line, I'm going to say it doesn't beat The Dark Knight.
Okay,
right?
Fair enough for you, but for me, they're just good, both good. All right, let's just put it that way.
That way. I mean, I like Andrew Garfield as Peter Parker. I love Emma Stone as Gwen Stacy.
Okay, yeah.
If you compare the parts, okay, just interjecting and sidetracking to that, didn't the plot feel very part one to you? I mean, like somebody experimenting on himself, Norman Osborn, then the Kurt Connors, then Spider-Man has to do something about it, then there's this bridge scene, then it just felt like that. But of course, there were more deaths. There were more emotional conflicts that Peter had to go through. And it was more realistic. It was darker, too. So I'll give it that. it earned numbers. And by the way, I like the costume, too. I thought it was top-notch. Mark Webb interpreted Spider-Man there. At least it's different. It doesn't have to be the skin-tight... how come it's spandex without shoes suit? So there.
Okay. We'll probably talk about that in a future ep. I don't know if we're gonna do this again, but
I don't know. That's why I'm just laying the cards out, because it is of July. Both movies came out in July, so it, fair enough. We can talk about it. It's in the same time frame.
Right.
Going back to Dark Knight Rises, another thing I have to ask you: what is your favorite poster?
I think the individual ones.
Which one? Rise or?
Yeah, the one with the rise. If you're asking me, that's about it. Yeah.
I thought so too. Those ones were pretty good. It didn't grow on me until the movie came out, but the third poster was okay, even though a lot of people complained that it was Photoshopped. I mean, they got the picture from The Dark Knight and put it in the background of the teaser poster and just colored it orange.
Yes.
You know, Fire with the Rise. A lot of people had mixed feelings about that, but if you have to have an epic Batman poster, I guess this is it. So it was okay. I like the Rise posters. I like the Banner posters where you see Gotham City. You see Batman standing above a police car. You see Catwoman riding the Batpod. And you see Bane guiding his army. And you see one where it's up close and personal. Batman trying to punch Bane. Bane blocks that punch.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. I think that was pretty cool, too.
So overall, as a final verdict, I think it was an epic finish. A nice salute to Bat fans. And yeah, what will come next? Please, Justice League movie?
Yes. 3 years from now, apparently the only DC movie we're going to see is Man of Steel, which unfortunately I didn't have any trailers attached to my IMAX screening.
Actually mine too. And even the conventional theater.
Really? Well, I'm going to watch it later on the regular format. And
I hope it's there.
I heard it's there, so I'll probably tweet about it. And speaking of Twitter, yes, so we're going to wrap this up. So you can find more of my work on twitter.com/GZEP, and my blog, Zepperoni, ZEPPERONI.wordpress.com. And you, sir, what's your Twitter account?
My Twitter handle is Timster, or TIMSTRZ.
And that's
Timsters. And then you can also find me at popculturecrusader.blogspot.com there. And another thing, if you've caught the recent news about the Colorado theater shooting, our hearts go out to those victims. And it was just senseless violence happening.
Yeah, I was pretty, what the fuck? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Jesus Christ.
People just wanted to watch The Dark Knight Rises, and then
that happened.
It's just horrible. It's in the news right now. If you're not aware, tune in to updates. Thoughts and prayers. Yeah. And The Dark Knight Rises is great. Watch it. Last blockbuster film for me this year. Well, if you're going to include The Bourne Legacy, okay. But I think this is it. It caps off the summer blockbuster season.
You know, speaking of Bourne, we could talk about it next time. I mean, this is just, to those who don't know, this is just like a random thing in my head. Like, yeah, it would be cool to record a Dark Knight podcast. But if people want to hear more of us talking about movies or whatever, we'll probably make another one. Right, sir?
Right, sir. And we should come up with a better name.
We'll invite Billy too, if you could. I want to hear Billy.
Something that affects both of us. But anyway, if you're listening to this, thank you for listening.
Yes, and thanks. And we'll see you.
A fire will rise.
We'll see you hopefully next time. So later, guys.
You okay?
I'm fine. Let's go.
Hold on. Where are you?
I'm in New York.
Who am I?
Hey, coach.
And who are you?
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
Yes, I'm Batman.
Telegram.
I am Batman.
I'm Batman.
We sound like Cookie Monster.
I'm Batman. That's Batman.
I am the Batman.
I'm Batman.
I'm thirsty.
I'm hungry.
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman, Alfred.
I'm Batman.
Darling, I don't have to answer to you. I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
I'm totally Batman.
Clearly, I am Batman.
I'm Batman.
You're Batman.
No.